You're listening to the Lawyer Lifestyle Podcast with Chicago attorney Dave Scriven Young.
It's Tuesday, so that means another Legal Power Players episode. Every Tuesday, I bring to you an interview with someone who's in power in the legal industry or someone whose superpower is in marketing, sales, and leadership. Today, I'm excited to have Anne Hill on the show. For over 15 years, Anne climbed the corporate ladder, building a career in management in the healthcare industry. After having children, she decided she wanted to have more control over her time and decided to launch her business as a virtual assistant. Over the past couple of years as a virtual assistant, she has helped numerous local and online-based businesses set up and automate processes, leading to improved efficiency in the business. She has also assisted in implementing project management tools to allow for better communication among team members and increasing overall morale. So, Anne, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Awesome. So, I'm so glad that you were able to come on today, because I wanted to talk to you specifically about leadership. And, you know, and I know that you're a virtual assistant, so I wonder if we can just start there and maybe tell us, you know, what does a virtual assistant do and what do you do specifically as a virtual assistant?
Yeah, so the term virtual assistant really has kind of become a general statement that a lot of times people will think, I need help, I need a virtual assistant, but they don't necessarily know exactly what they do need with regard to what help is needed. There are ways that virtual assistants can help across the gamut. Some virtual assistants will specialize more in like email marketing, copywriting, doing social media management, scheduling out social media for businesses. Sometimes they'll do website graphic design type things. And then there's also just your general virtual assistant that helps more on that administrative side. So they will help maybe with some customer support, help with calendar management, scheduling, CRM management, those sort of things. There's also VAs that do specialize in podcast management as well. The things that I definitely have focused on more during my time thus far in this role has been looking at the administrative side, looking at systems, looking at operations, and trying to help businesses and just teams run more efficiently. Help them automate things that they can, and then also just help everybody have a good feel for what that workflow is and everybody know what's going on in the business.
Great. And, you know, I'm curious, in your bio, you know, it talks about that you were in the corporate world for a long time and then you decided to become a virtual assistant. So I'm curious as to sort of what your journey liked in becoming a VA.
Yeah. So I found that my background, like I said, was in the healthcare industry, and I really loved what I did. I loved being a manager. I loved working with teams. But I got to a point in my career, which I think happens to a lot of people, that they get to a point where they just are getting burnout with what they're doing, whether it's burnout with the corporate world, whether it's burnout with the specific role that they're doing, but just getting burnout. And then on top of that, I had kids and, felt like I wanted to own my time more and wanted to have better control of what my schedule looked like, when I did things, having the flexibility to do things as I needed to, both for my personal life and then also with work. I do love working though, so I knew I wanted to still work. It wasn't something where I didn't want to work anymore. I just needed to figure out what it was that I wanted to do. I was introduced to a course about being a virtual assistant that really walked through the process of what a virtual assistant can do, all of the different things that are out there. And it also walked through what it means to be a business owner, because as a virtual assistant, you can work under an agency or you can be your own business owner. In my particular case, I chose to be my own business owner with that. So I had to learn how to be a business owner and what that meant to be a business owner, on top of learning exactly what skills I really wanted to focus on and emphasize as a virtual assistant. In my particular role, like I said, I did enjoy management. And so I did enjoy looking at processes, looking at systems. So I really translated everything that I had done in my career into helping other businesses do those same sort of things.
Well, I wonder, as someone who might be looking for a virtual assistant, I know you mentioned that you took a course. Are there certain qualifications that an attorney or someone looking for an assistant might look for? Is it looking for someone who's taken a course, someone who has a certain certification or the like?
So if you've gone through a course, it definitely does help you just have a better awareness and understanding of it. Technically, as a virtual assistant, you don't necessarily have to have that additional training, but there is a leg up when you can say, I've done this certification, I've done this course, I've done this training. There's also a lot of times when there will be, if you do specialize, like I was saying, if you do specialize in email marketing or you specialize in social media management, there are additional courses that people will do for those specific kind of niches too. I would think that as an attorney, if you're looking for a virtual assistant, one of the big things to really look at is what exactly are you looking for, and really narrow down what will be the most beneficial for you. Because just generally hiring a virtual assistant isn't necessarily going to help if you don't know how to best utilize what it is that you're looking for.
Well, that's a great transition, because what I really wanted to talk about with you today is, you know, some tips on as an attorney, how to work well with an assistant. And really, I think it's whether or not it's a virtual assistant or someone that's in your office. But of course, you know, nowadays with quarantine, everyone is working with an assistant remotely, right? And mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring this up is there's no training that an attorney receives, that any real professional gets with respect to working with an assistant. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, here is your assistant. You know, not this is the person that's going to be helping you. And I remember as a first year associate at a large law firm, or actually as a second year law student who was doing a summer associate position and actually got an assistant, I had no idea how to utilize an assistant appropriately, how to work with this person well. So I wonder if you could give us, you know, a couple of tips on, you know, what's the best way or how to work best with an assistant.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few different things that can play a role in how to work best with your assistant. First of all, if you are a part of kind of that hiring and onboarding process with that assistant, it's going to be completely different than if it's something where, like you were describing, where you just are walking in and they're saying, okay, here's your assistant. When you are walking in and they're just saying, here's your assistant, this is who you're working with, we have this team member for you. One of the biggest things, and really for both sides of it, one of the biggest things is communication and setting those expectations and really being open to communicating with them, especially right up front, a lot more often and more frequently, checking in, saying what's working well, what's not working well, and really having those the open dialogue is really what will be critical and crucial in a successful relationship with you and that assistant. Another thing to think about is really what are those repeatable steps that you do day in and day out that somebody is able to help with? It doesn't specifically have to be the attorney, and what can somebody else potentially step in and take off your plate so that you truly can focus on law and focus on being that attorney that you want to be and are there for. So that's a little, and if you are a part of the hiring process with it, I think it's critical to be true to yourself, truly have an understanding of, do I want somebody that will do exactly as I say and exactly how I want it done? Or do I want somebody that's going to look a little bit more at that big picture? Am I open to them maybe taking a little bit of ownership, a little bit of control of what they're doing? And if they have a better way of doing it, am I open to a different way? Or do I want things to specifically be done the way I say they need to be done? And really just, you know, understand yourself to know who will best be able to assist you. I think that's really a very important part of it also.
Well, let me unpack some of that. And I think you just gave some really great information. In terms of communicating and setting expectations, and maybe this is going to be a little bit of a weird question, but it's actually really very relevant to my audience, because a lot of my audience includes young lawyers. So people who are, you know, maybe working with an assistant for the first time, they're, you know, maybe, you know, 20, 21 years old. And you're given an assistant who is, you know, frankly, you know, older than you and who has had much more experience probably working at the firm, you know, working in the legal field than you have, right? And mm-hmm. so what sorts of things would you recommend, you know, that a young person do to sort of just get that to be able to communicate? Because I think a lot of young people are, you know, just a little, you know, scared about, you know, talking to an older person or, you know, dealing with someone who has more experience. So what do you think are some of the best ways that a young person can just get to know, you know, an assistant who, you know, like you said, is kind of, you know, they're thrown into the relationship because they weren't part of the hiring process?
Yeah. So with the communication side, getting to know each other in general is always a good thing. What does that person like personally? What do they like professionally? Ask them directly, how do you best communicate? Do you like email? Do you like text messages? What works best for you? And get a good understanding of that as well. I do think it is critical to have actual, if possible, in-person communication as much as possible, if not, at least over video, especially right off the bat, because things can be so out of context when it is just the written word. And when you're first forming that relationship, actually getting to see someone, see their responses, see if they're getting, you know, hesitant, if they're getting nervous, if they look like somebody didn't understand exactly what you were saying, you need to be able to see that. And you can't always get that in a written word, in a text, sometimes not even over the phone with just voice, but actually trying to see that physical response is huge with communication right off the bat. As you form that relationship more, then obviously things can alter and change, but right up front, you need to have some of those unwritten, I guess, ways of seeing how that communication is going. Another thing that I think can be handy with communication is, like I said, really just kind of knowing yourself, know what you like, know what makes you tick, know what irritates you, and be open to having those conversations. It's okay to say, hey, you know, I really am not used to this, or this really bothers me, or I would appreciate it if this was how we communicate. I'm trying to think of an example right off the bat, but just being open to, you know, knowing yourself and owning it. It's okay if you don't know all the answers, especially as a newer attorney. And somebody else may have done things a different way. The previous person, that the previous attorney that assistant may have worked with, may have done things a different way. It doesn't mean anything is right or wrong. It just means it was different.
Yeah, I mean, what I can tell you sort of from my own experience is, as a young lawyer, we tend to rely on email quite a bit. And I think your point is very well taken in that, you know, face-to-face communication, either in person or remotely, I think is going to be very key to getting to know your assistant and letting the assistant get to know you as well. The other thing that I especially appreciated for, you know, the assistant that I had for my summer associate position at this big firm is that she really liked the fact that she could show me around, that she could show me, you know, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. I liked what you said in terms of just being open with the fact that, hey, you know, I've never had an assistant before. I really, you know, want to get to know you. I really respect you. I really know that you, you know, have all this experience, and I would really appreciate it if you helped me. Do you think that would go a long way in sort of, you know, opening up those communication lines?
Without a doubt, yes. And then also just putting the time in up front is going to help you so much immensely in the long run. So yeah, it may take a little bit more time, potentially doing, you know, weekly meetings, scheduling things in to have that communication right up front really helps to just keep the open lines of communication in the long run, but then also just helps with that overall flow, helps you know what's going on, helps your assistant know what they need to change, what they need to do differently, or potentially even what's going well. I think it's always great to emphasize both the good and the bad when you're having those conversations. You do want to, you know, if there's something that's not going well, you do want to talk about that, but you also definitely want to emphasize the great things that are occurring as well, and not necessarily just always turn to the negative on that. So,
yeah, I mean, I can tell you one of the mistakes that I made with my, first assistant when I was at, when I started as an associate at this big firm, was not having those check-in meetings, and sort of waiting for, so, and this is kind of, I don't know, to me, it's kind of crazy. The way they had it set up at my firm was, is that there were like written evaluations of the assistant. And so, you know, as a, you know, first time ever lawyer, you know, evaluating this assistant, you know, for the very first time, I didn't have those like check-in meetings. And so like, there were some things that I brought up during the meeting that I probably should have talked about many, many times before that, but never brought it up. Yeah. And so I think it was a surprise to her, that I brought it up, and what you're saying is totally true. Just having those, you know, check-in meetings where, hey, you know, I didn't like the way that this looked, or I don't think that you're spending enough time here. Just bringing that up beforehand. Don't bring that up for the first time in an evaluation that actually is meaningful to the assistant's career.
Yeah. And definitely the point of having the assistant is to truly be able to help you as the attorney, work more efficiently, work more effectively, and truly get to focus on what you love. It's not going to help you or the assistant if you are getting frustrated, if you are holding things in, if you are not communicating with them on how they truly can help you and how they can better assist you.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would say is in terms of, you know, setting expectations, oftentimes lawyers are thrown into a situation where the assistant may be assisting other attorneys as well as yourself. And especially when you're a young lawyer, and, you know, rightfully so, the assistant is going to be more focused on those other maybe senior attorneys. And so, you know, what are the best ways to kind of manage that when you know the assistant has, you know, several things on her plate, you're just one of those things, or your tasks are just one of those things. How do you manage that relationship when perhaps you don't feel as an associate that you're getting as much attention from your assistant than you would need maybe in the moment?
I think a lot of that really comes down to communication. It comes down to from the beginning, or potentially even after, you know, a month or two of working with somebody, getting that feel of, is this adequate amount of time? Am I getting what I need? Am I not getting what I need? And again, communicating with that assistant on, if I'm the attorney not getting what I need, then how can we better work together to make this happen? How can we better make sure that my deadlines are met the way that I've laid them out? And giving yourself a little bit of a buffer with some of those things too, because there definitely are times when life happens. But if life is happening on a very regular basis, then that's when that conversation needs to be had with that assistant. But giving yourself, you know, a little bit of a buffer so that if something does come up that you do have a little leeway, but, you know, set those deadlines, set those expectations out with your assistants so that they can try to rise up to that level and do, if not exceed, what you're expecting of them.
And let's also talk about, you know, setting deadlines with your assistant, because, you know, oftentimes, you know, as you found out yesterday, because we had this podcast scheduled and then something came up for me and I had to, you know, profusely apologize, and you were graciously, you know, able to change and be flexible. But yeah, I mean, in our business, you know, emergencies come up all the time, and there's definitely a difference between, you know, something that's on an emergency, you have a brief due today or tomorrow that just came up, as opposed to sort of a long-term project. And how do you find, you know, the best way that attorneys or people communicate and deadlines to you? What's the best way that you would appreciate being told, you know, what a deadline is?
I tend to have kind of a prioritization in my own head of what things are most important, what things are not as important. And then across that, it also comes to, like you said, those emergencies, those fires that come up that need to be put out immediately versus the priority list. So that's where making sure that the assistant is understanding that and potentially even walking them through some different examples. You see that when this happens, then this is going to become more of a priority. When this doesn't happen, then that can be put to the back burner. And having them get an understanding of the big picture with it is really critical to be able to prioritize, to be able to assist in putting out those fires more immediately when needed, and shifting things around and changing what tasks need to be done when.
Got it. I think that makes a lot of sense. So let's turn to some mistakes that you've seen, because you've been doing this for a while and worked with, you know, numerous people in your position. And you've worked in the business field, you've worked in the corporate world, so you know what that's like. And now as a virtual assistant, I wonder, you know, what mistakes have you seen with people who work with an assistant?
I think there's two big ones that I see most often and have experienced myself. One being somebody not really knowing what they're looking for. They just know they need help, but they don't necessarily know what they need help with. And it makes it very challenging as the assistant to try to come in and do a great job and feel useful and be professional when you're kind of grasping at straws at, do you need help with this? Do you need help with that? And not really knowing what it is that you're looking for. Some of that comes with communication. Some of it truly comes from knowing just what your processes are, know what your workflow is, and know where those pieces are that can be pulled out where an assistant can be helpful for you. The other side that I find is no training at all. Bringing somebody on or starting with a new assistant and just kind of throwing things at them without them having any understanding of what they're supposed to be doing with it, who they follow up with afterwards, who they need to check in with along the way, what the next step is in the process, that sort of thing are kind of the big ones that I see most often. I would say a third element in there is if people are more on that kind of controlling side, a type A side, where they don't want to let go. They find that they're micromanaging that assistant all the time, and it's really not saving them any time at all because they're almost double doing the work. So that's really not going to help serve that attorney, but it's also not going to help serve that assistant. And in general terms, people want to feel useful. They want to feel helpful. And if everybody is just redoing the work, or if you're looking over their shoulder as they're doing it, they're not going to really have that appreciation and satisfaction in their job.
Yeah, I think those are great tips. And frankly, those are mistakes that I've made over and over again over my career. God bless the assistants that that have worked with me over the years. But yeah, you know, I think you bring up a great point in terms of people, assistants wanting to feel useful. I mean, this is their job. This is what they signed up for, to help. And yeah. When attorneys don't let them feel useful, that is not a great way to allow that person to have job satisfaction, right?
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, to me, and I think what you were saying before, you know, piggybacking off of that is, you know, you have to make a self-determination as to, you know, what you really want this assistant to do. And, you know, maybe, you know, also, Anne, I could ask you this. Yes, I mean, maybe the attorney needs to do sort of his or her own sort of self-examination as to what their needs are. But also, sort of as a new person coming in, you may not know what needs you have, right? And just asking the assistant, especially when you're coming into a new situation where, you know, the assistant has already sort of been in the process and they're taking you on as a new project. But finding out what, you know, what is it that, you know, you can do as an assistant, you know, for me, how can we work together better? I'm sure the assistant can give us all sorts of ideas as to how they can be most helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And when I work with new clients, I definitely enjoy having those conversations of, I've seen this work well with other clients. Do you want to try this? Do you not want to try that? But ultimately, you know, when I'm working with, whether it's, you know, a team or whether it's a business owner, my job is to help them. It is not to make their life harder. So, you know, even if I make suggestions and they decide not to do that, I need to be open to that. And I need to be okay with that as well, because it's not my job to change them. It's my job to help them. So I think that's just kind of a critical thing for assistants in general to be aware of too, is that they need to be there to help and not make life harder for the people they're helping. But yeah, the more experienced person that you have assisting, the more they are going to be able to suggest different, you know, tools, different ways of doing things, and just giving options, which is never a bad thing to just have options when you're looking at how to, you know, run a business, how to maintain a business, all of that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. And then on the training piece, you know, I think, you know, for a virtual assistant coming in, you know, fresh to a situation, that must be very difficult. But I think there may be, you know, two things going on in terms of, you know, bringing an assistant on for a law firm. One would be, you know, what the firm, you know, the law firm's processes are, and training sort of on the systems and that sort of thing. And then the second piece to me is, you know, what your individual, you know, attorney preferences are, because everyone, I think, works in, you know, vastly different ways. You know, some people, you know, at my firm, some people are still using dictaphones. Some people are using, you know, computer, you know, assisted recording in terms of, you know, wanting, you know, if you need your assistant to type for you, you know, what you like your calendar to look like and that sort of thing. So I think there may be, you know, two different pieces of that. One being, you know, just a general, you know, what does the firm do? Or what does your company do? But then also sort of what your own personal preferences are. And, you know, communicating that seems, both of those seem to be really key pieces of information that the assistant would need.
Yeah, definitely. If you are working with a more major, larger corporation, there is that needed training just for the job in general. And then, yes, definitely getting to know who it is that you are specifically working with. As the firm, though, it would definitely make sense for the firm to be trying to connect the people that utilize similar systems with the same assistant to help that assistant be most efficient also. And it will help them make their lives easier too. I don't know if your firm specifically looks at that or not, but just kind of something to keep in mind. If there are people that have larger companies that they're working with, trying to help your assistant keep similar processes with all of the team members that they're working with definitely helps everybody in the long run too.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that, because I frankly don't know if law firms or a lot of companies even think that way. You know, I think a lot of it is because there's no training on how attorneys should work with assistants. Similarly, there's no sort of unification in processes. And so, you know, when you have, you know, one attorney that you know, works one way, and you have another attorney that works, you know, completely different way, and you have the same assistant, that must drive, you know, the assistant crazy, or at least make it, you know, make the person, you know, be much less efficient. And if firms actually, you know, trained lawyers on, okay, well, this is what we do at the firm, this is the process that we use, and this is how your assistant can help you, I think that would be just a fascinating way of doing things and making things much more efficient for both the attorney, but also for the assistant.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where a lot of times when assistants are stepping in, they can say, you know, these processes have worked well here. Are you open to trying this? Are you not open to trying this? Are you, you know, and just having the discussions are huge in helping everybody's lives be easier. But yeah, it would be great if the overall firm looked at those things too and kind of helped guide along the way.
Absolutely. All right. And so this is going to be a hard question, Anne. So you talked about controlling and how, you know, so there are some people who are controlling, and, you know, trust me, in the legal field, there are a lot of controlling people. So what is your recommendation? So I want you to put on your, you know, your psychotherapist hat or, you know, what have you. And, you know, how give us some tips on, you know, how not to be so controlling and to just allow the assistant to actually help you.
So I tend to be a little controlling myself. So I can relate to it being challenging to let go and let somebody else help. I think it's key to be aware that there are other ways of still getting to the same result, even if it's not exactly how I do it or how I think it needs to be done. There are still ways that others can help and still get to the same end result, still have the success that you're looking for. I think another part of it is right off the bat, maybe giving some guidance through the processes that you're training somebody on, and then let go, like truly just let them run with it once or twice, and then meet afterwards and have that discussion. Hey, this went well, this didn't go well. Next time, can we try this instead? And that's where those more frequent meetings right off the bat will help you feel confident that you have somebody that is professional, that is working with you and can truly assist you in the best way. But it still comes down to you as a person being open to the idea of just because it's not my way, it doesn't mean it's not the right way, and it doesn't mean it won't still work. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that totally makes sense. I mean, I think what you're describing is, the building of a relationship and the building of trust between the attorney and the assistant. And I think it really goes both ways. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. So great. Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate you sort of providing all of these tips. And it's really something, at least for my listeners who tend to be a little bit younger and, you know, are using, perhaps remote assistance for the first time. What do you see as the best way to work with somebody who is remote as opposed to working with someone who's in person? How would you recommend some of those, processes change? Because, you know, when I come into the office on a normal day, you know, pre-quarantine, I'd be able just to, my assistant is right outside of my office and I can just talk to her and sort of, find out, how she's doing and, what the priorities are for today. How would you recommend going about doing that sort of as a remote situation as opposed to an in-person situation?
Yeah, I think that there still is that need for that daily communication. There still is that need for that daily check-in. And I see, actually, I have an attorney client that I work with that there is every morning, there is a firm call where everybody's having that initial check-in of, even if it's a 15-minute call, it's just a quick, let's run through, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, this is my plan for the day. And then they're utilizing tools like Slack or other project management tools where you can communicate in them as well, like Microsoft Teams, that sort of thing, where you can have that conversation throughout the day if a priority comes up, if something changes, if it becomes more urgent for task X to be done instead of task Y, that sort of thing. So even though it's remote, you can still have a lot of that communication. And there is that need for that daily check-in still. It could even potentially be an end of the day email that you send out saying, hey, these are the things I got done. This is what I'm working on tomorrow, just to make sure that communication is still there.
Love that. All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and giving us this great information. It's going to be really helpful for folks who, who are maybe using assistant for the first time or maybe have not found the right process to work with an assistant efficiently. So I really appreciate you coming on. I wonder if people want to reach out to you in terms of, maybe they want to hire you as a virtual assistant or they want to find out more information about you and what you do. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
So I do have a website and it has a time on there or a spot where people can schedule calls if they want to talk any more on anything. My website is www.hilltopvirtualsolutions.com. And people can feel free to reach out there. And I am happy to help answer any questions that anybody might have.